and you cannot afford to not get lucky. Use your Absa card to enter the draw. Terms and conditions apply. Your story matters. Absa.
Good afternoon. The headlines. Constitutional lawyer files urgent court application to stop Bill 7 vote. Government cuts power connection fees from over 4,800 kwacha to 300 kwacha. And in global news, Putin rejects peace deal on Ukraine after U.S. talks as NATO foreign ministers meet. With the 13 Hours Main News Bulletin on Phoenix, I am Paddy Mugando. Constitutional lawyer Tresford Chali has filed a new extreme urgent application in the Constitutional Court seeking to hold the voting on Bill 7 in Parliament until his main case challenging the declaration of the Chawama parliamentary seat as vacant is concluded. In a certificate of urgency filed this morning, Mr. Chali argues that the first Deputy Speaker's announcement yesterday to reintroduce Bill 7 for a vote creates an immediate risk that Parliament may proceed with a measure on or before Friday when the House is expected to adjourn sine die. He submits that allowing the vote to go ahead would deprive the people of Chawama representation on matters concerning the proposed constitutional amendments. The emergency application is tied to Mr. Chali's main petition, in which he is asking the court to overturn the Speaker's ruling over the 20th of November, declaring the Chawama seat vacant. In the main petition, he argues that the Speaker relied on the House's standing orders rather than a code of conduct prescribed by an Act of Parliament, and seeks declarations that the ruling is null and void, an order or certiorari to quash the decision, and an order staying the Speaker's pronouncement pending final determination. Energy Minister Makoso Chikwete has announced that electricity connection fees will be subsidized and reduced from 4,846 to 300 kwacha effective 22nd December 2025. Speaking during the Rural Electrification Authority RIA launch of the Accelerated Sustainable and Clean Energy Access Transformation ASCENT initiative in Osaka this morning, Mr. Chikwete says the 2026 application window for the subsidy targets 100,000 new connection fees next year alone. Mr. Chikwete has, however, instructed RIA and ZESCO to ensure the initiative is widely publicized, assuring government's commitment to ensuring universal access to electricity by 2030. He notes that the $200 million World Bank-funded ASCENT Zambia program aims to connect over 1.6 million Zambians to electricity and clean cooking technologies over the next 5 years.
I also encourage all citizens to take advantage of this opportunity, and I hereby instruct now RIA and ZESCO that this initiative must be passed on to our citizens in time, correctly, and they must be facilitated.
At the same event, World Bank Country Manager Dr. Akim Fok said the initiative brings together the World Bank Group, the African Development Bank, and other partners to support sub-Saharan African countries in providing access to electricity to 300 million people.
At the larger context, ASCENT for us is a regional program that we are working with and implementing in quite a number of countries, but it is also part of the World Bank's and ADB's commitment to the what we call the M300 mission, to help connect 300 million people in Africa to electricity by 2030.
Meanwhile, RIA Acting Chief Executive Officer Alex Mumba commended government for championing policy and financing reforms that made the program possible. Citygate Christian Center Zambia Bishop Victor Kalesha has apologized to the Catholic bishops, priests, and all those who may have been affected by his recent statement issued at State House during a stakeholders' engagement with President Hakainde Hichilema on the constitution amendment process. Bishop Kalesha has acknowledged that his comments on the amendment bill were interpreted in a manner that appeared to restrict participation in national discussions, creating an impression that certain groups were being sidelined from contributing to important national matters. He has noted that this misunderstanding may have caused tension, particularly among Catholic priests, but also among young people and many others who actively engage in the governance process, explaining that his intention was never to attack the Catholic Church or any individual, and believes the situation was worsened by media misinterpretation and misinformation. In an interview with Phoenix News, Bishop Kalesha, who is also Emeralds and Semi-Precious Stones Mining Association of Zambia president, admits that allowing such remarks to be associated with him was an error on his part, and has since taken responsibility to tender his sincere apology to anyone who felt hurt or misled by what circulated in the public domain. Bishop Kalesha has further expressed deep regret for the Catholic, I beg your pardon, Bishop Kalesha has further expressed deep respect for the Catholic Church, recalling that his own mother was a Catholic and that the values she instilled in him, including humility, service, and love, continue to influence his character and approach to leadership. Bishop Kalesha recently stated that Catholic bishops and priests should refrain from commenting on the constitutional amendment process because they do not have children. Tourism Minister Rodney Sikumba has urged the Anti-Corruption Commission, ACC, to extend the corruption index to cover government ministries as part of efforts to tackle corruption across the public service. Speaking during the launch of the Ministry Integrity, Conflict of Interest, Whistleblowers and Gifts and Benefits Policies alongside a new digital newsletter in Lusaka this morning, Mr. Sikumba said a ministerial corruption index will provide a transparent measure of corruption levels across ministries and help target anti-corruption interventions where they are most needed. He has emphasized that benchmarking ministries will promote accountability and enable more effective monitoring of progress. Mr. Sikumba has urged the ACC to address fears that reporting corrupt activities can compromise whistleblowers' privacy, even with the presence of the Act and policy.
Whistleblower policy, it provides a comprehensive framework for employees to report suspected acts of corruption, fraud, and other unethical conduct in a safe and confidential manner. Now, Director General ACC, I think we've had a bit of a problem with that, which I strongly believe you may want to just come and speak with our team. The whistleblower protection seems to be not being well received. Other people are very scared. They think they'll be exposed as the more. But I think it's important, ladies and gentlemen, as you become a whistleblower, do not be that malicious whistleblower.
Meanwhile, ACC Director General Daphne Chavu has tasked the Ministry's Corruption Integrity Committee to implement the policies effectively and consult the Commission whenever challenges arise, underscoring the need for coordination between the Commission and ministries in the fight against corruption. In global news, Russian President Vladimir Putin and U.S. negotiators appear to have failed to achieve a breakthrough on securing a Ukraine peace deal. Russian officials say the talks were constructive, but no compromise was reached over territorial concessions for Ukraine. It comes as NATO foreign ministers are meeting in Brussels to discuss the ongoing peace talks. We monitor the BBC for more on this and other global stories.
High-stakes talks between the U.S. envoy Steve Witkoff and President Putin have ended in Moscow without a breakthrough over a peace plan to end Russia's war with Ukraine. A Kremlin aide, Yuri Ushakov, said no compromise had been reached with regard to Ukrainian territory over which Russia wants control, but both sides described the five-hour meeting as productive. The compromise between EU member states and the European Parliament has resulted in a provisional agreement to phase out imports of Russian gas by 2027. Russia has been funding its campaign in Ukraine through its export of fossil fuels. There's growing desperation among survivors of catastrophic flooding in Indonesia as the authorities try to get aid to communities still cut off. Officials say the number of people who've lost their lives now exceeds 800.
This is the 13 Hours Main News Bulletin on